Welcome, everybody, to Jewish Quest, a podcast produced by the Louis Jacobs Foundation and committed to Rabbi Jacobs's belief that the quest for Torah is itself Torah. My name is Simon Eder, and each week we are joined by a fabulous guest to help us deconstruct that week's parashah, exploring new insights and meaning in Torah. And as we continue our journey through Vayikra, and this week as we come to Tazria, it is wonderful to welcome Rabbi Dr. Wendy Zerler, who is the Zygmunt Fulk Professor of Modern Jewish Literature and Feminist Studies at Hebrew Union College in New York. And prior to joining HUCJIR, she was a research fellow in the Department of English at the University of Hong Kong. She received her PhD and also her MA from Princeton University and her BA from Stern College of Yeshiva University, and has many accolades to her name, and is also a prolific author of many books, including Movies and Midrash, Popular Film and Jewish Religious Conversation, and Rachel Stoll, The Idols, The Emergence of Hebrew Women's Writing, as well as lots of articles in the field of Jewish literature and Jewish gender studies. Rabbi Zerler, wonderful to have you with us today as we explore Tazria.
Great to be here with you. Looking forward to our discussion.
Fantastic. So maybe to dive in, I wonder your take on really what Tzarat means, and why really does Vayikra place such importance on skin as we come to the next few parashiot?
So first, on the matter of the definition of the word Tzara'at, it's important to note that most scholars don't translate tzara'at as leprosy, what we would call Hansen's disease, rather as scale disease, as Leviticus scholar Jacob Milgram used to like to translate it, some eruption or disruption of the boundary between the skin and the body and the outside world. And really, it's because of the role of the skin as a boundary, as a borderline, that it becomes so crucial in this parasha and in the next one, and as a kind of leitmotif in the book of Vayikra.
And then maybe more generally, I wonder really your take on the kind of anthropological importance of skin. How do you take to that?
So when I first came to the whole subject of the symbolic importance, the anthropological importance of skin, I actually didn't begin with anthropology. I began with comedy. That is, with a comic song by Alan Sherman, Jewish satirical songwriter, who wrote this parody song, a song that he called Skin, to the words of the Broadway show Damn Yankees. The original song was called You Gotta Have Heart. And he wrote a song called You Gotta Have Skin, because skin's the thing that we've got on the outside and that it helps keep the insides in. In other words, it serves as this borderline, a means of keeping bodies and entities and categories apart. And that becomes the way in which it's viewed in biological, social, anthropological studies as this way of being able to protect against dreaded invasion or disintegration or inundation by other forces. And there's a tremendous anxiety about that possibility of being invaded or disintegrated or inundated from the outside. And so human skin is this long continuous boundary that demarcates the borders for us, and breaches in the skin, such as those of Tzara'at, they are taken to be attacks on the body's wholeness. they leave raw flesh vulnerable to the external world. And that is something that the Levitical system wants to supervise or even police.
You mentioned this word, and it's an important one for the entire book of Vayikra, boundaries. How really do you see the concern for boundaries manifest, both in terms of the laws and then also the literary structure that we encounter here?
If we use the term boundaries, maybe interchangeably with borders, on the level of law, so the priest will want to diagnose if there is a breach of that boundary and place the person or the entity or the object that's suffering that breach for a specific amount of time outside of the camp, place it outside of the strictly delineated boundaries of the camp so as to enforce those boundaries. And then there is a period of purification and the possibility of re-entry. That's on the level of law, how the laws work. In terms of the way in which they're presented on a literary level, in terms of the ways in which the actual literary presentation of the laws of Tzara'at mimics these boundary lines. So the Torah presents the laws of Tzara'at through what I would call a literary structure of containment or covering. And I mean by that a series of concentric rhetorical circles or repetitions. Tazria, so where we are this week, it begins its treatment of Tzara'at with the diagnosis of Tzara'at that affects the skin. And then it repeats this diagnostic focus with respect to bodily extremities, the hair and the head, for example. And then it moves outward from the body to clothing, and then it moves still further outward to the walls of one's house. And then in the next parasha, Metzorah, that parasha provides details about how to purify each one of these concentric circles of Sarah and in the same order, beginning skin, clothing, houses, and then as if to create a rhetorical or literary skin to reinforce the physical and literary boundaries of purity, Leviticus 14. So in the next parasha begins, and almost what we have is a beginning and an ending that's almost identical. So the opening of it is Zot Tiet Torah Tamitzorah. This is the Torah pertaining to the person with scale disease. And that's how it opens the chapter. And then at the end, the very end of this cycle, you have the same words repeating Zot Torah Tatzorah to mark the end. So we've got the laws showing these concentric circles with their border lines. We have the written structure similarly beginning in an inner circle and then radiating out. And then reiteration as another rhetorical or literary structure to mark those borders. And I suppose one could say that rhetorical structure, where you've got successive containers or borders being laid out, that literary structure itself suggests a way of keeping certain things inside and other things outside.
This is getting extremely graphic. Thank you. Thank you for painting the picture. The person with a skin disease, as we read, is really depicted both as an outsider. And yet it also seems that the chapters of Vayikra in relation to skin and its disorders underscore the role of skin, not really simply as a border, but also as a way of communication. I wonder if you can pack for us that steaming paradox.
So in terms of the way in which the tsarua, the person afflicted with the scale disease, is seen socially as an outsider, so part of that is seen in the way in which the tsarua is legislated or directed as a mark of being afflicted with the scale disease. That tsarua is enjoined to tear his or her clothes and loosen his or her hair and cry out before anyone who sees them, "I am impure, I am impure," to announce that status. The afflicted person is described as dwelling badad, alone, like the destroyed Jerusalem, the way in which Jerusalem is depicted in Lamentations. So all of those descriptions and ritual injunctions pertaining to the tzaruah enforce that outsider status. So having this affliction places you socially and physically outside the camp, emotionally outside the norm. And that, as if to say that your skin affliction, if your skin, that borderline is erupted, then you cannot be tolerated because you bring eruption, you represent eruption and affect the, potentially threaten the integrity of the whole community. And yet, because of the role of skin as something that both keeps the insides in and the outside out, but also as a way of us communicating with the outside world, it's not quite as simple as just that the tzaruah is outside and is anathema or is a pariah. And when I began thinking about the symbolic significance of tzaraat, I went looking in the world of skin science. And here I'm not talking about dermatology. I'm talking about the anthropology of skin, and read a work by a skin scientist named Nina G. Jablonski, who wrote something that was extremely powerful for me. And it became a way for me to go back to Vayikra and understand on a deeper level what was happening in, or what is happening in these parshiot. So this skin scientist, Nina Jablonski, writes that far from being an impervious barrier, just a barrier or a boundary, the skin is a selectively permeable sheath. It is constantly at work as a watchful sentry, letting some things in and others out. After all, we use our skin to feel, right? Our skin is that zone where we have so many sensations. It's our first point of entry. She says that the skin is also home to hundreds of millions of microorganisms. So it's a place literally that's inhabited. And those microorganisms feed on the skin's scales and its secretions. And in addition to our skin being more than a defensive shield and a gatekeeper or a personal zoo, she says, she notes that the pores and the nerve endings of our skin unite us with our surroundings. It's the way in which we touch one another and much of our environment, and we feel cold sensations and warm sensations and annoying sensations, and where we feel the pain of having our knee scraped and the calming feel of a mother's hand. So our skin is this place that can be afflicted, but it's also the way in which we communicate in a tactile way with the outside world. And what I discovered is that Tazria Mitzora, these two parshiot, reflect a similar awareness in that the laws of tzara'at are the way in which they're presented to us, the kind of language that is used to present these laws to us, includes a whole network of verbs that have that dual, that carry the dual meaning of skin or the dual function of skin as a place where one can be afflicted, but also as a zone where one communicates.
Thank you again. We're really getting to the depths. And I never thought on this podcast we would encounter such science as well. So thank you for bringing that. You mention Metzora next week. And I think in next week's Haftorah from, I think it's 2 Kings chapter 7, we encounter a very much a complementary commentary, as it were, on this confluence of both suffering and joy in relation to our topic. I wonder if you could maybe share how next week's Haftorah is related to our subject today.
So in order to do that, I'm going to have to add another few layers of understanding of this week's parasha, because that specific granular, I suppose, verb analysis will explain at least my understanding between some of the thematic resonances and literally the literal elusive resonances between these parshiot and the Haftarah for Metzorah. So what I'll just add that other layer. So I said before that skin has this dual element, and all of the verb roots that we encounter in the Metzorah in relation to skin and their ailments carry those double valences. So for example, the word nega for plague, it was a word that we were thinking about a lot during COVID. The word nega for plague or affliction is the root for to touch. So it gets into this whole question of skin being this place that can be afflicted, but also skin is that zone where we touch the rest of the world. Similarly, the word or for skin, that's ayin vav resh. So it means skin, and it appears 40 times in these chapters. But that same word or also is used in a verbal sense for to arouse, or le'orer, or lihitorer, to wake oneself up, or leha'ir, which is to comment, a way of communicating. Lastly, the word flesh in Hebrew, basar, is the same root, carries the same word as the Hebrew word levaser, which means to bring tidings, either good tidings or bad tidings. And that's what takes us to the Haftarah from 2 Kings 7. And there you have a story of a porous boundary between a tragic experience and a joyous experience, between being a Metzorah, being someone who's outside of the city, cast out, and being a Mevaser, someone who brings tidings. In this particular case, there are four men with scale disease, four Metzoraim who are sitting by the gates of the besieged city of Shomron. And because they're outside the gates and outside the city, which is besieged and therefore suffering from famine, in being outside the city, outside the boundary, they're able to find out that the Arameans, Aram, that had laid siege to the city of Shomron had actually deserted their camp and left behind all of their provisions and their food. So paradoxically, in being the outsiders cast outside the camp, they are able to be the ones that can bring the Besorah Tova, that can bring the tiding that in fact there is good news and there's sustenance. So we've got this paradox that a very unlikely saviors, the very people who had been cast out, are the ones who were able to bring salvation to the mainstream.
And then I guess perhaps to go one step further, but there's also that connection that we have on this theme with the Gemara from Sanhedrin 98a, I think, which talks of the possible connection between the person with a skin affliction and the Messiah. Could you maybe share that passage and how it perhaps connects to what we've been discussing?
Yes, happy to. So actually, this, I suppose the origination, the source inspiration behind that story from the Gemara could be traced back to the Bible, to Isaiah 53. Which is the chapter that furnishes the Christian image of the suffering servant. It refers to a servant who suffers, that we accounted him plagued, nagua, smitten and afflicted by God. Somehow the very person who is going to bring us good tidings is someone who is a sufferer. And that gets built out in this famous Gemara from Sanhedrin 98a, a story where Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi is eager to find out whether he has a portion in the world to come. And he asks Elijah the prophet, is he going to have a portion in the world to come? And then he wants to know when the Messiah will come. And Elijah the prophet says, why don't you go and ask him yourself when he's going to come? And Rabbi Yoshua ben Levi says, where do I find him to ask him? And Elijah the prophet tells him that the Messiah is sitting by the gates of Rome with all of the other beggars and all of the other people who are outcasts and suffering from all kinds of unseemly diseases. And so Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi wonders, if that's the case, if he's sitting with all these other beggars and lepers, how am I going to know who he is? And the answer is that all of the other beggars, untouchables, wounded ones, they have a habit of untying and rebandaging their sores all at once, taking off all of the bandages and rebandaging all at once. What distinguishes the Messiah as an afflicted sufferer with wounded, festering sores is that he's careful to only untie and retie one bandage at a time so that he will always be on the ready. Because, of course, if he takes off all the bandages at once, then he's going to have to rebandage everything before he can go and save the world. And so this idea of being careful only to untie one bandage at a time shows both his woundedness and his constant readiness. And so what this story teaches us, it teaches us a number of things about the sense of the salvific power of suffering or outsiderness or being solidarity with others, that redemption seems to come from somebody who is immersed in the suffering of others. But it also teaches a few different things about skin. You have to have it. And sometimes you have to have bandages to make sure that you maintain its some version of its integrity. We need those boundaries. But on the other hand, we have to open ourselves up to vulnerabilities. We have to at least take off those bandages every so often. We need openness and a healthy sense of vulnerability. And this seems to be what makes the idea of the Messiah possible. At least what makes it possible for us to identify what might be messianic in a crowd of Mitzorayim, people with skin disease. It's also communicating the idea that redemption comes from the unlikeliest of places. And I suppose our whole discussion is showing how meaning can come from the seeming unlikeliest of places, in that we're talking about oozing festering sores as a locus of such redemptive, meaningful possibility.
It really perhaps says that the darkest hour is before dawn, which hopefully, possibly is where we are now in the world, maybe.
Yeah. Today, for another lecture that I gave today, I spoke about a story by S.Y. Agnon called Hamit Pachat, the kerchief, where the way in which the boy in this story is demonstrated that he's reached an age of mitzvot, to take responsibility as a bar mitzvah boy, is his willingness to take his pristine, pure mother's kerchief that she had tied around his neck on the day of his bar mitzvah to make him look like a chatan, to untie that kerchief, the symbol of purity, nothing ever having sullied it before, to untie it and offer it to a beggar that he meets on the street so that he can use it to bandage his festering sore. And at the very least, what it's showing is the way in which little redemptive acts nowadays, at a time when we're flailing about to find occasions of redemption, that little redemptive acts and acts of kindness, willingness not to avert our eyes at the things that we find painful, that those become.
Rabbi Zella, thank you so much for guiding us through, for taking us on such a journey. Wonderful to end with Agnon, and we've gone through Tanakh, science, and Agnon to finish. So really thank you for joining us today and pointing to a path of hope as well through the complexity and difficulties that we encounter in this week's Parsha. So truly thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you enjoyed this podcast, do please remember to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can find out more information about all of our work on our sites, louisjacobs.org and also jewishquest.org. Do tune in again next week as we continue our journey through Vayikra together.